All right, I just have a couple of quick announcements before we get back into worship here. Next week, we're going to finish up at the movies. It'll also be my installation service, so River Hope's anniversary. And we'll also be saying thank you to Pastor Dennis Romine. I said this before, and I'm going to say it again from here. When churches go through a transitional leadership, when one pastor leaves and the next one comes on, you need to really have the right person filling in. And I firmly believe that God had ordained long before we were ready that Pastor Dennis was going to be that person. And so we just want to say thank you to him next week for all he did leading this church. The other big thing, June 2nd, anybody who wants to come, we'll be having a party celebrating Leticia as she's getting ready to go back to Brazil. We are all pretty heartbroken about that, no matter what we say. So the whole church, you are welcome to come. If you're going to come, please just let my wife, Lacey, know. And June 24th, please mark this on your calendars. This is a great building. I mean, we the people are the church, but we have a great building. Unfortunately, this building is getting old very quickly. And as you know, like, and some of you older people in here, you can attest, when you get older, things start to wear out and fall off. And the same thing is definitely happening in our building. There are a lot of things that need to be fixed, repaired, replaced. So June 24th, we're going to have a work day. Many hands make light work. I would love to see everybody come. We will have a full list of everything we're going to do. It does not matter if you're skilled or unskilled. There's things for everybody to do. If everybody can come together, if the whole church can come together, we can get this knocked out in one day. Unfortunately, what seems to happen is 10% of the people do 90% of the work. And so if you love this church as much as I do, if you love this building as much as I do, please just mark it on your calendars now, June 24th, to come here and just help us get this patched up and looking great. Because let's face it, we live in as much as we don't want to be materialistic, that is the society we live in. And when people walk in through the front door, they're going to judge what they see. As bad as that sounds, that's what they're going to, when they walk in, they want to see things looking fresh and new and good. And there's just a lot of things we need to take care of. Right after service, so it'll be Sunday after service, and we'll also be feeding you. So if you come to work, we'll also feed you. So, hey. You know, you like free food? I like free food. I don't know if you can tell. So Friday, Medford High School their seniors graduated, and they are all heading on to bright, beautiful futures. And we have one of our own graduated this Friday. That is Jamie. We'd like to take this time to honor Jamie, and we're going to ask Jamie and her family to come up here as we are going to pray over her and over her future as she goes out as a symbol not only of Christ, but of River of Hope. So if you guys want to come on up here. Jamie's plans are to go to UW Stevens Point for athletic training.
Yep.
So Jamie is a wonderful young lady, a wonderful young Christian. We are so excited that she will be representing Christ and River of Hope in Stevens Point and shining a light onto the UWSP campus. So let's pray for Jamie now, and let's send her off with God's blessings. Dearly Father, we thank you for Jamie. We thank you for everything you've done for her. You have been through her through soldier surgery, and now that she is getting ready to go further out into the world, we hope that she will take the heart and to grow her faith and be a superhero for you, God, and that she will be able to shine a light to you. We pray that you give her wisdom to go through all of her classes, that you give her understanding, and that you would bless her future. Lord, we know she has a bright future as long as she walks in your way and goes according to your path. Lord, I pray that you would make her path known for her, show her where you want her to go, and give her the courage to follow you. We pray blessings over her entire family as she gets ready to go, Lord, that you would help prepare their hearts as this can be an emotional time, Lord, as they see another one of their kids growing up and leaving the nest. We know this can be an emotional time. So we pray blessings over their entire family, Lord, that you would comfort them and help them know that she is in good hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Congratulations. So I think that is all we have for announcements today. If I didn't say it, welcome to River of Hope. We are so glad you're here. In case, I think you all know me, but I'm Pastor Josh. I am the senior pastor here. We are just excited that you are here. If you are a guest, know that we have prayed for you, and we are so glad that and honored that you have come here to worship and to learn about God with us. So last week, we kicked off our series called At the Movies, and for those of you who haven't been here, we're looking at movies, and we're pulling out spiritual truths out of them. Last week, we looked at Spider-Man, and in Spider-Man Homecoming, Tony Stark invested into Spider-Man by giving him this brand new, awesome suit, and he expected something in return, and we looked at how God expects something in return from us, that he has invested in us, and he expects something in return, and we were looking at growing our faith. Well, this week, we're going to look at Star Wars. And man, Star Wars has got to be the best series ever as long as you take out the prequels and The Last Jedi. Just pretend those don't exist. And then you have the best series ever. And they came up with a totally unique weapon for Star Wars and the lightsabers. Are these things cool? That's Samuel L. Jackson. Now, in the Star Wars universe, he played Mace Windu. In the Star Wars universe, the color of your lightsaber meant a lot. If you had a red saber, they call it the dark side, or, you know, more sinister, where the light side was more good. That was the thing. And then, so, can you go back a slide, please? So, Mace Windu has a purple lightsaber. Now, when this came out, this is in the prequels, which aren't the best, but they're like, man, what does that purple lightsaber mean? Man, was he like some kind of brand new Jedi? And they got talking about it. And so it was kind of a shrouded mystery for a while. I actually double-checked this with my Star Wars encyclopedia, otherwise known as Danny. And I said, is it true that the whole reason that Samuel L. Jackson wanted a purple lightsaber was because nobody else had one, so when he was in battle scenes, he'd be able to pick himself out. And if you go to the next slide, see, that sticks out. And Danny actually confirmed it. Yeah, that was the whole reason that he had a purple lightsaber was so when there was huge battle scenes, he could go, hey, there I am. So I thought that was kind of cool. And what do you think people were thinking when they drove by in the street today and they saw a lightsaber duel out in our parking lot? How awesome is that, right? So Star Wars has some of the most iconic duels ever. The biggest, baddest battle scenes. If you want a complete breakdown on every single battle scene, including the names and what stances the fighters were using, talk to Danny. The guy has a wealth of information. It's really quite amazing. But if God would pull back the veil of the supernatural world just a few minutes for us, so we could see what was going around us, we would be able to notice that there is a huge battle going around us right now. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is we're going to talk about the battle that we are in, and we're going to recognize who we're fighting against. We're going to answer 5 questions today. Who are you fighting against? What does your enemy look like? Why does your enemy hate you? What is at stake? And finally, what will you do about it? These are all important questions that we need to answer. We're going to answer them. Let's go to prayer as we enter in. Dearly Father, we just give you thanks and praise for everything once again because we love you, Lord. I thank you for this message you have given to me. I pray that you would allow me to relate it powerfully and simply, that people will be able to grasp hold of these truths that you have showed to me. I pray that you'd help us equip us as we go into the battlefield that is our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our text today, our main text, Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then from Daniel, the commander of the Persian kingdom opposed me for 21 days, but then Michael, one of the chief commanders, came to help me because I was left with the king of Persia. And that reference, Daniel is praying and praying and praying that God would send him someone to help him out because he's having these visions. And finally, the angel gets there and he's like, hey, Daniel, I would have been here a lot sooner, but I was in a huge battle. So we need to understand, all around us, there's a huge spiritual battle raging. Angels and demons are fighting constantly all around us. We need to be aware of that. And finally, our last main text is from Romans 7. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. That was Paul talking. Paul, who, if you could put someone in the, like, if you, you know, we have the Hall of Fame for football and basketball and, you know, some of those other sports that don't exist, like hockey. You know, we have this, we have these Hall of Fames. If you're going to put someone in the Hall of Fame, the Apostle Paul is up there. Yet he constantly is saying, I fight against my nature. He refers to himself the chief of all sinners. So keep that in mind as we go on, that was Paul talking. He's talking that I am fighting this nature constantly still. Paul, who is writing the epistles to all these people, encouraging them, showing them how to be better Christians, yet he is still fighting every single day. So, who are you fighting against? You are not fighting against politicians. You are not fighting against the DNR. You are not fighting against your neighbors who you don't get along with. The real people that we are struggling with every day, first and foremost, are the devil and his angels. The devil is very real. His angels are very real. We refer to his angels as demons. You need to understand this. The devil has one goal in mind: to completely destroy you any way he can. If he can't tear you down to nothing, he will distract you so you do nothing. Does that make sense? The last thing the devil wants is for you to become a superhero of faith, like we talked about last week. He would rather you come to church every Sunday, sit in those comfy chairs, sing the songs, but do absolutely nothing. There was a story I heard a while ago. A man was walking along the beach and throwing starfish back into the ocean that got caught after the tide. And someone said to him, you know you can't save every starfish, right? He said, well, I saved that one. Well, walking behind them were the devil and his demons. And the devil said, boy, aren't you going to stop him from saving the starfish? He goes, why? He said, these men, these humans, they'll get so preoccupied with saving animals and saving all these other things, they'll completely distract them away from the things of God. As long as they're doing that, I don't care. We're fighting against the devil and his angels. We're fighting against spiritual powers. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter 5:8. Helps by looking first, not second, right? 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Listen to that. It sounds like someone who's sitting there placent, not doing anything, not caring about what you're doing. If I'm describing your adversary as someone who is looking to devour you, does that give you pause for concern? That's who you are fighting against. Job 1, 6 through 7. If you want to turn there, I love Job. It's a little bit hard to read because Job gets really upset and his friends are like they're rebuking him. And so it's a lot of monologuing. But listen to what the devil is doing here. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered, Lord, from going back and forth, fro on the earth, and walking back and forth on it. Here's why I highlight that. I want you to understand this. A lot of people, when you say, oh, the devil, they think about this guy who rules in hell. The devil's kingdom is not in hell. The Bible tells us repeatedly, the devil is the prince of this world. Here it says that he was going to and fro, back and forth on this world, and he was looking for someone. Someone he could torture. All right? When someone tells you that the devil's in hell, ruling hell, no. Hell was created as a prison for the devil, his eternal punishment. He is active right now. He is that roaring lion looking to devour you, get you away from God, and destroy you. The devil doesn't want you to get a hold of any of this, what we're about to talk about today. He does not want you to grow in your faith. He wants you to stay complacent. He wants to destroy you if he can. Who are we fighting against? Fighting against ourselves. We're fighting against ourselves. It's our own sin nature. We have this own sin nature that keeps bubbling up inside of us that we have to constantly fight against. How many of you wake up and you try to do good and you try to do good and then things come up and you do wrong? You know, how many of you are working? You're working and you're going to pound a nail and you slip and you hit your hand. You let out a few cuss words and the hammer goes flying. I got to tell you, that's why I was so impressed that I talked about this a little bit last week. Kurt and I, we swamped this boat and, I mean, it took a long time getting it on. We were freezing cold. Kurt's countenance never once changed. He just kept making jokes. He's like, yep, sir, this still beats working. As we're sitting there freezing cold, water sloshing around us, covered in mud, covered in silt, Kurt's making jokes, not changed one little bit. That's amazing. Because we fight against our own sin nature. As Paul said, I am a slave to this sin nature. We got to try to put that old man away. We got to try to die to sin, but it's so hard. So understand, we're not fighting just against the devil and the powers here, but against our own sin nature. So what does your enemy look like? Now, why is this so important? Think about it, if you're in battle, you need to distinguish very quickly who is your friend and who is your foe, right? Because what happens if you go to shoot an enemy, turns out it's your own person? That's never good. You know, when the soldiers went into Iraq and Afghanistan, that's one of the biggest issues they're having, is that a lot of those guerrilla-type fighters that are over there, they don't dress up in uniforms. They're dressing up as civilians. I've read countless stories about snipers. They're like, is that a civilian or is that an insurgent? Do I shoot? Do I not shoot? So we need to understand very clearly who our enemy is and what he looks like. So when I say the devil, do you get an image like this? How about this? How about that? Is that Julius you that comes to mind if I say the devil? Okay, what about this next slide? How does the Bible describe the devil? Dragon? Yep. Serpent? Yep. Liar? What would you think if you saw this? What does that look like? Anybody? What? An angel, right? Boy, if I saw that, I was like, oh, it's a messenger from God. I better listen up. Well, look how else the Bible describes the devil. As an angel, as the morning star. The devil's real name is Lucifer. Do you know Lucifer means bearer of light? Listen to what Paul says. I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into convulsion, are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Listen to this. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the ones we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. And we have already said, so I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than that was accepted, let them be under God's curse. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Why would Paul warn us that angels might come to us and present us a false gospel? Is it because when we think of a demon or a devil, we're thinking of that little red guy with the horns? And we're not thinking of him possibly appearing as a beautiful young woman? Or as an angel? What we would think as an angel? Or possibly they might return to us as a loved one that has gone before us? My family has struggled with that, where they have seen loved ones come back. Loved ones that have passed on come back to them. The Bible says when you're gone, you go to heaven or you go to hell. All right? Don't be confused. If anybody comes before you with this false gospel, don't be thinking that the devil is going to look like this, the guy with the horns that we all picture. The morning star, the bearer of light. For don't forget, before the devil rebelled, he was an angel. What does your enemy look like? We need to look in the mirror. We need to remember the other enemy we fight every day is our own sin nature. We cannot give the devil credit for our failures when we are given a way out of temptation. There was a famous comedian, and he's older, and he used to always say, "My devil made me do it." Some of you people who are older probably know who it is. I can't think of his name. But he would always say, the devil made me do it. But 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us this. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But if God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So if you're a young man and you're fighting with your wife and you go off and you see a beautiful young woman and she starts telling you how great you are and she's telling you all the things that you need to hear. If you then fall from your marriage and do things with her you're not supposed to, the Bible tells us you cannot say the devil made me do it or God made me do it. That temptation was there for you. But God also said, if you call on me, you'll exit right back out. There is nothing tempting you today that without God's help, you cannot overcome. So yes, we are in a fight against the devil and his army, but we also need to remember we are fighting against ourselves. And God has already given you a way out. So why does the enemy hate you? Why is the devil so intent on destroying you? Why is he so ready to rip you apart and to bring you down to nothing and to tear you into hell with him? Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. It says, once again, helps if I look in the right chapter. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation of the farthest sides of the north. Ezekiel 28, 11 through 19 says this. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus saith the Lord God, You are the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You are in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone covering the sardis, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you the day you were created. You are the anointed who covers, I will establish you. You're on the holy mountain of God. You walk back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You are perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might get you. You defiled your sanctuary by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you. And I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. And all who knew you among the people are astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. Does it surprise you that the devil knew God that well? That he was a part of heaven? The same thing that cast down the devil, cast down so many rulers. He got prideful. He said, I am going to exalt myself above God. I am going to be God. And because of that, God cast him down. Revelation 12, 7 through 10. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to this earth, and the angels were cast with him. Satan tried to make himself better than God. What's better than God? Nothing. What's more powerful than God? Nothing. You think Lucifer, who was at the right hand of God, who was always with God, who was created from the beginning with God, when he created the angels, Lucifer was created with them, you think he could understand that he couldn't overthrow God? But his pride and his arrogance got in the way. How often do we see that in our leaders? They get so prideful, well, I can do anything. And he was cast down. Satan hates everything about God. Every single thing that God stands for, hates Satan, absolutely hates, and wants nothing to do with it. And this is why he hates you so much. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Nick, you were created in the image of God. Kathy, you were created in the image of God. When Satan sees you, what he sees is he sees God. That infuriates him. How many times does God have to say, I love you? For you understand that. He loves you. We are his prized creation. Do you understand that? The Bible tells us that we rank above his angels. Because of that reason, because you are so loved, because you are created in the image of God, the devil hates you and wants to destroy you, and he is actively seeking to do it. He is a roaring lion coming after you. And the more you step up in your faith, the more you're going to be attacked. Revelation 20:10 says, and the devil and his angels were cast into the lake of fire. The devil knows he has lost this battle. He knows his punishment is coming. I want to tell you a story that was shared with me once. Two brothers were fighting. The first brother pinned the little brother to the floor and was flicking his ears. And I don't know if you've ever had a brother do that, but that hurts really bad. And he said, I'll let you up on one condition. If you tell me I am the greatest in the world, I will let you up. And he kept flipping his ears. He said, just tell me I'm the greatest in the world, and I'll let you up. The little brother, understanding that he was defeated and there was nothing he could do, said, fine, you're the greatest in the world. But just before he got off, the big brother got off, the little brother got a loogie in his throat and spit directly into the big brother's face. The big brother went off crying, cleaning out his eyes, and the little brother smiled. Yeah, the little brother lost. In the end, the little brother lost the war, right? But he won that one battle. That's where Satan is right now. Satan's like, man, I am defeated. It is done. But I am going to drag as many of those people that God loves, I am going to drag them down to hell with me. And by doing that, I'm going to spit a loogie right in God's face. I'm going to say, you see these people you love? I'm going to convince them to follow me, or at least not follow you. And then you're going to be the one who has to throw them to hell forever. You like that? That's why the devil hates you so much, is because God loves you. It's kind of hard to see there, but that's not Medford. That's a map of Medford. So let's imagine for a little bit that, let's just say the Chinese invaded Medford, and they became an occupying force in Medford, right? Now, down in this corner, you got a group of resistant fighters, right? And they're all gathering together one day a week, and they're talking about how great America used to be, and how much they hate the Chinese. Okay? Up over in this corner, you got another group of fighters, and they're gathering together once a week, and they're talking about how they all hate the Chinese, and they want to make America great again. And over in this corner, you got a third group. They're doing the same thing. Now, these two groups up here, though, they are gathering together reinforcements. They are bringing new people in, and they are slowly fighting back against the Chinese. And this group over here is doing the same thing. They're building up their forces, and they're fighting back. And they're starting to win people over to fight back against the Chinese. And down here, you got this group who's just sitting there once a week, talking about how much they hate the Chinese, talking about how much they love America, but they're not actually doing anything. In this scenario, who do you think is most likely to get attacked? If you're the opposing army, would you waste your time, your energy, and your weapons on people who are just sitting around doing nothing? Or would you go try to attack the people who are actually doing something? The more we sit here, we say we love God, and we do nothing, the more the devil just sits back and laughs. He's not going to do anything to us. Why would he? Actions speak louder than words. We can come here every Sunday. We can sit in these chairs. We can claim we love God. We can claim all this. But until we are actually doing something, nobody's going to notice. The devil's not going to notice. We learned last week what happens if we don't step up into our faith. You wicked and slothful servant, depart from me. So yeah, if you step up in your faith, if you go after God more, if you say, God, leave me where I can, God, trust in you, you will come under spiritual attack. But I'm telling you, that is the best thing in the world. That means that you have the devil on his heels and he is afraid of what you are doing. So what is at stake? We could sit back and relax. Not be attacked by the devil because we're sitting here quietly. Not step out in our faith. In this building and watch nothing happen. But here's what's on the line. The souls of everyone we meet is at stake. Just like the devil is trying to kill you and me, The devil is after everybody in this city, every single person we meet. Like it or not, because you were born, you got conscripted into the... conscripted? What's conscripted? Thank you. You got conscripted into this battle. The second you were born, the devil said, I hate him. That's all it is. Because you remind him of God, and he wants to drag you to hell. Everyone we meet is being attacked. There is a battle raging. Are we going to sit here? Or are we going to jump in? Obedience to God. God made it very clear. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. I'm not saying go to China. I'm not saying go to Mexico. I'm saying walk next door to your neighbor and tell them about God. I'm saying go to your family members who you know aren't saved, who you know will die in their sins and go to hell. I'm saying go to them and tell them about God. It's time we fight back. The difference is, will we hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant, or hearing, you wicked and slothful servant? And we'll be storing up our treasures in heaven. Jesus told us, store not for treasures here on earth, for moth and dust doth corrupt. What's the point of having all this money here? When you die, it's not going with you. You realize that, right? There's a great comic. It's an older man standing in a garage filled with junk, just to the brim. And he says to his son, when I die, all this will be yours. And his son's like, oh, boy. You realize nothing you have here you're taking with you? But God says, if you work for me, if you are doing my will, if you are working for me, if you are sharing the gospel, if you are helping, you'll store for yourselves treasures in heaven. And when you get there, they'll be waiting for you. I don't know about you, but the Bible says when we worship God, we'll take the crowns that we have earned and we will throw them at his feet. I don't want a crown that's so chintzy that you can barely see it. I want a crown that's so heavy and filled with jewels that I can barely throw it to his feet. That is what is at stake. If we could just for 1 minute have our eyes revealed to what's going on around us, we would see this huge battle going on continually around us. And yet we're content to sit here. So finally, You understand we're in a battle. You understand who the enemy is. You understand what they look like. You know what is at stake. So here's the last question. This is something I can't answer, because this looks into your heart, into what you're going to do. What will you do about it? Are you content to sit back and watch loved ones die and go to hell? Are you content to sit back and watch the city of Medford continue to get pulled into drugs? We're doing a good job of keeping the drugs at bay in this city. But you know, there's a huge drug epidemic all around the Taylor County. It's becoming worse and worse and worse. Do you know what this city needs? We don't need better drug laws. We don't need better education. This city needs Jesus. That's what it comes down to. We need to see hearts, minds, and souls changed. Then we'll see real change in this city. Question you have to ask yourself today is, what will I do about it? What am I going to do about it? Said it before, I'll say it again. Medford is ready for a harvest of souls. From Medford on up, everybody is feeling a revival is coming. But a revival won't happen if we sit here. How are the people going to hear the good news of Christ if no one is preaching it to them, if no one is sharing it with them? It used to be we could sit here and wait for people to come to church because they were seeking after God and they knew where to go. But the biblical literacy has dropped so far now that we need to start taking it out to them. What will you do about it? You going to join the fight? Or are you going to sit in the sidelines and say, it's not for me? In the words of Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will take this battle to these streets. If hell be filled, let it be filled over my body, trying my best to keep people from going there. I've let too many friends and relatives die in their sins. You say you love God, you say you love people, and it's time to reach out. Next week, we'll conclude at the movies with our series, The Avengers, suiting up for the battle. Man, don't go into the battle unarmed. Don't go into the battle without armor. God has a whole bunch of armor ready for you to put on. So I hope to see you back next week as we're going to put on the armor of God and we're going to fight this battle. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words. We thank you for your Son who has died for us that we can be saved from our sins. Lord, let us never lose that zeal to help the lost, to jump into this battle, to fight back against the devil and his angels. Lord, we know the victory has already been won. The ultimate war is over, but let us not lose these battles. Let us not let Satan spit in your face, God, and take away souls with him down to the depths of hell. In Jesus' name, we pray all things. Amen. Thank you guys very much. You are all dismissed. Have a great rest of your week. I hope to see you guys back next week as we'll have a meal afterwards. We'll have a lot of fun. So be blessed, everybody. Thank you.